We'll just start by praying. Like, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's powerful. We give it rightful place in our hearts, Lord. We give it authority, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning just to minister and speak to us, Lord. And we thank you for your very presence being here. And we thank you that where your presence is, we can encounter you so freely, Lord, because of what you did on the cross, Lord. So we just welcome you here this morning and we praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks to Nat and the team and Lily for sharing around communion time, that hard thing of getting up here on the stage. You never know, we might make it a more frequent occurrence of that hard thing occurring. So she's shaking her head down there, but you never know. But this morning I'm going to share a simple thought. You know, like this, there's only 3 weeks left of 2018 and then bang, we're into 2019. You know, and I don't know about you, but school seems to be wrapping up and Christmas is just around the corner. And if you're anything like me, you're not ready for that. So, but what I'm doing at the moment is I'm just reflecting on the 12 months that was, and then you begin to get ready for the next 12 months that's coming. And you find yourself saying things like, where's the year gone? It was like they had that New Year's resolution at the start of the year, and by the 2nd of January it was gone. And then here we are now at the end of the year looking back. And so this morning I just want to share a couple of simple thoughts. And this is probably the first message I've been able to organize a little bit differently. We've had our Transform series and that's finished a couple of weeks ago. And then last week we had the guest speaker and this morning we're getting ready for our Christmas period. So this morning I just want to share a couple of thoughts. You know, in 2018 for me, and some of you may be able to say the same thing, has been a pretty good year. And we look back and lots of stuff's happened and we reflect upon it. And then we go, okay, I'm going to prepare and propel myself for the new year. And for me, this always happens this time, the start of December. Just as we're closing down the school year, as a teacher, you wind down and well, I found myself saying this week, I survived 12 months with that kid. And some kids in my class are saying they survived 12 months with me. So the feeling for some kids is quite mutual. And we survived each other. And this is the time of year where we get ready and we plan how we're going to have a break and how we're going to unwind, you know. I was talking to Pete this morning and we're talking about fishing and all those sorts of leisure activities that Pete and I have got similarities in, and just how much lack of water there is. But we begin to prepare what we're going to do in the holiday period to have a break. And then we start to wind up again for the new year that's coming. So I'm going to share a couple of principles, you know, but my principles lie around if we as a collective group would be able to apply these principles to our faith, you know, we can not only say we've had a great 2018, but furthermore, we'll be able to propel ourselves into an exceptional 2019. You know, we will grow in our faith. We will grow in our maturity and we'll see God move. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I desire personally and something that I think we can do. So a simple message, and it's this time of year where we hit that reset button. You know, the busyness of the school year, I can just go, oh, I can hit the reset button and I can just rewind and I can relax and I can and can come back and, you know, and I can say, God, what didn't I do in 2018 that you really would like me to do in 2019? We can provide room for God to minister and speak, and we can propel ourselves. You know, and throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, there's this rhythm throughout the Psalms. You see, throughout the New Testament, you see there's this rhythm of both thankfulness and praise. So there's this rhythm. There's this rhythm. Okay, so if I find myself saying rhythm, you just, I'm speaking my own language, you just put in rhythm. Yesterday we had a party for Mikey, and who knows, it was quite warm. And by the end of the day, Tone and I, we looked like we had our red faces on and were quite angry, but that's just because it was quite hectic. And 22 little kids running around with Nerf guns, shooting one another. It was quite crazy, but it was also very, very hot. So I'm a little bit tired. But Psalm 103 says this. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, the writer of Psalms, then he sorts of, he adds this list of benefits in sort of like this order of hierarchy, this Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The most important one he lists is he who forgives all your sins. You see, the most important area that you and I, we can't deal with on our own, that only he can deal with. You see, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, Psalm 100 and verse 4, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." You see, throughout the Old Testament, and even when you jump into the New Testament, you see, Paul, he continually reminds us, as he writes to the people in Ephesus, in Rome and in Philippi, he says, always share with spiritual songs and be prepared and ready to praise. You see, all throughout the Gospels, the New Testament letters, the Old Testament, we see this rhythm, I'm there again. We see this rhythm, thanksgiving and praise. You see, this is what categorizes the life of a believer, a life that is full of thanksgiving to our Father in heaven, full of praise for the work he has done. It's not about forcing, but rather realizing what he's done in our lives. You see, our thankfulness and our praise is a response to what he's already done. Our thankfulness and praise is not forced. It's not something that we can be coerced into responding with or doing. And if you're wondering in your life, man, I don't feel thankful enough. I don't praise him enough. All we need to simply do, and Lily touched on this in a communion message, is be reminded of what he's done, the very person of who he is. We're saved by grace. This alone is reason enough to be thankful and to give praise. Something I did a couple of years ago, maybe 12 months ago with Mikey, and I dare say all the dads can relate to this. The dads may be the one that go out, and when their son or their daughter makes that big decision as a 4 or 3, 4, 5-year-old, around that age, they make this big decision. They say, "Dad, I no longer need training wheels on my bike." So Dad goes to the shed and he gets a shifter and he takes these training wheels off. And who's watched their kids? They get on there and then who knows what they do? They have one twist of the pedal and they get the wobbles on and they go that way. And then they go, "Oh, it's all right, I'm going to go again." They go again, they get the wobbles on. And as a dad or a parent sitting there, you're just saying, "Just keep going, don't stop. You know, it's like you're trying to coerce them into just moving and going, and then you say, "I'll give you a shove." So all dads, they probably do that. They get there and they stand there and they give that shove. And once the momentum from that shove comes to an end, it's like they fall to one side or another. You know, and I remember as Mikey, we took him down to the park, and he so desperately, I think he was watching someone on YouTube who was younger than him and could ride a bike, so he was so desperately wanting to ride this bike. And we took him down there, and they've got all these pathways there. You can't learn to ride a bike on grass. You know, that would be logical, because if you fell over, it'd be okay, but you can't do it. It's like, if you can't ride a bike on cement, you definitely can't ride a bike on grass. So we went to all these pathways, and we got him there, and we gave him this shove. And to begin with, you know, falling to one side or the other. And then after a while, the left leg starts to turn and the right leg starts to turn. He gets this momentum. And then this screaming starts happening and the phone comes out and you start recording. I tried to find it this morning. We've got a little video of Mikey when he learned to ride a bike. I was going to throw it up there so you could see how there was this wobble to begin with. And who knows when they're first starting to ride. It's not usually in a straight line. It's like this, you know. But if it's too severe, they fall off. It's like they go from one way to the other. And Mikey got it, but he got this momentum. And it's sort of this place where once the left pedal goes, the right pedal needs to go. But there's this little bit of lag in between the both where you need to keep pushing again. You need that momentum, you know, and sometimes we get a little bit wobbly and we fall down and we get into this strange sort of place where it's not right. And I want to suggest this today, and I hope this story somewhat resonates in your heart, is when we live a life as Christians with thanksgiving and praise, we have this momentum in our faith. It's thanksgiving, then it's praise, and then it's thanksgiving, and then it's praise. And we have this momentum in our life, and it stops us from getting wobbly. It stops us from comparing ourselves to others. It stops us from becoming discontent with our lives, but rather it draws us closer and closer to the very feet of our Saviour, Jesus. Thanksgiving and praise. And it's this momentum that continually goes over and over. You see, in thanksgiving, we're thanking Him for what He's already done in our lives. And we thank Him for what He has provided. You see, in praise, we actually just look directly to Him. And we praise Him for none other than who He is. We praise Him for who He is, His very nature. You see, this morning I want to kind of be like that dad that's not unlike that, giving that shove on the training wheels, pulling the training wheels off and giving that shove. But rather that when we give that shove, it's like that analogy that gives us the nudge, and in doing so in 2019 can be a year of continual thanksgiving, continual praise. Continual noticing that God is active. He is involved. He hasn't given up. I want to be that dad that makes the training wheels come off and says, keep going. You know, like I remember sitting there going, keep going, Mikey. Keep going, Mikey. Don't stop. Keep going, Mikey. You see, next year, your year will be completely different if you form a habit of thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. You know, and today, I just want to anchor us in a passage of Scripture that's found in Luke 17. So if you've got a Bible, by all means, just turn to Luke 17, and we'll be starting in verse 11. And it's actually the Gospel account of Luke. And it says this, you see, this story, we only read about it in Luke's account. And no doubt, I'm sure you're familiar with this passage, but I still want to look at it this morning and pull out a couple of thoughts. You see, in Luke 17, starting in verse 11, it says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, notice that they're standing at a distance. They're doing what is required of them under the law. You see, if you had a skin condition, if you were deemed unclean, you had to stay outside the walls of the city and call out to those who were near you. And most of the time you would call out, unclean, unclean. But this time they were calling out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. You see, these are men who have never been with other people, and perhaps it's been for a long time. It could be years. It doesn't actually say. They've been stuck in a community of sickness. You see, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. You see, in this day, the priest had power. The priest had the ability to reinstate you back into the community. In fact, if you believed you were healed, you would go to the priest, you would make a sacrifice, and he would declare if you are right to go back into the community. And as they went, so Jesus has said to them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. They've asked for pity. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. You see, let's just picture this for a moment. Imagine 10 blokes on the move, walking, hobbling. Maybe their parts of their body are missing. Maybe they're stumbling, they're crawling, moving bit by bit as they're walking. And as they're moving, they're seeing limbs restored, ears just pop back on. I mean, these kind of skin conditions were pretty bad. And you can imagine how amazing that would have been If you're an onlooker standing there seeing these people walking along who were deemed unclean, who were outcast, then all of a sudden, as they're walking, things change and they become healed. But I noticed something particular about this message. You see, all of them were cleansed. It says in verse 15, all were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. You see, notice the detail that Luke puts in there. He says he was a Samaritan. He was an outsider. He is a foreigner. He wasn't part of the promise. In fact, he is showing up the other nine people who we can assume were Jewish. People whose very name means praise. You see, isn't it interesting? And yet this man is the one coming back to praise. The one who would be excluded from worshipping in the temple, but he knew he could worship Jesus in the wilderness. In verse 17 it says, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, and scholars believe right there that rise and go is resurrection language. You were dead and now you're alive. You were lost and now you're found. Your faith has made you whole, has made you well. You see, and today I want to explore and look at the motivations as to why the 9 didn't return and perhaps reflect on why the 1 did return. And I want to create in your heart a momentum of thanksgiving and praise that will stick with you for the next year. And as you look at what God's done, as you reflect on that, you continue to do this life that is like that kid on the bike learning with momentum of thanksgiving and praise. You see, there's all these theories as to why the 9 didn't return. You know, some believe that they had a genuine fear of God and had a fear of being associated with Jesus. And obviously by this stage he had done a few miracles and he was becoming a somewhat a marked man. And some believe they sort of got on with their life. They picked up their dreams where they last had them. Others believe they wanted the gifts, but they didn't want the giver. You see, and I want to look at these motivations today. You see, you notice these 9 men were healed and they went straight back into the community and they were no less healed, but they were less grateful. They got straight on with life, the life that they'd left behind. They're like, finally I can get on with these things. Finally the dreams I had on that shelf over there, I can pick them back up and I can enter back into community life and they can enter back into their workplaces, their homes, and they completely forgot about Jesus and the miracle he has done in their life. You see, we move on so quickly, and I think what really disturbed Jesus, what kind of annoyed him, and you can hear his irritation in this passage, is they just moved on so quickly. You know, like at Christmas time, has anyone ever had this issue? Like, I remember when Mike was a bit younger, maybe 1, 2, something like that. At Christmas time, you'd buy a present, and you'd help them open the present, and they'd get the present out, and they'd start to play with the present. And then you'd have a bottle of Coke that you were drinking. And the kid would crawl over to the bottle of Coke, and very quickly, something that had their attention no longer has their attention, and something somewhat insignificant seems to take over their attention, and that Coke bottle that was just sitting there seems to be their priority, their thing that they're concerned with. That gift no longer is really relevant. You know, like, we joked about it a few years ago. We could have probably just thrown a bit of rice in a Coke bottle and wrapped that up for Mikey when he was about 1 or 2. He would have opened it and stood there shaking it for half an hour. You know, like, kids just move on so quickly. They go from one thing to the next. I've watched Mikey on his iPad. He's watching something, and very quickly he's onto something else, and then he's onto something else, and then he's onto something else. We just move on so quickly. I'm referring to kids for all that, but the same can be said for you and I. We might be watching TV and we just go, next, next, next. We're just very quick to move on. It's human nature to move on so quickly. And I reckon what disturbed Jesus most of all is how quickly these 9 men move on. They move on with their lives. You see, God's done this incredible work. Jesus is, and he's enacted this awesome miracle, and they move on so quickly. They didn't stop and turn around. They didn't stop and realize that there was a deeper work that could have been done in their lives if they just had merely stopped. And today I want to probe the question, is there anything throughout 2018, as you continue to move into 2019, that you moved on to, moved past or moved through so quickly that maybe we should have stopped and had a closer look at the giver and give thanks and praise for whatever it is that's occurred? What has he done that deserves a closer look in your life? In Exodus 3, it says, "There's the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Through the bush, though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up." This is amazing, Moses said to himself. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming closer to take a closer look. You see, in Exodus, Moses sees this bush on fire. He notices that it's not being consumed by the fire. Notices this, he says, "I must go and take a closer look." You see, he noticing this, the Lord begins to speak. You see, I find it interesting that Moses didn't move on so quickly from something that had the potential to be life-changing. He stops. He went over and he had a closer look. What is it in your life that perhaps you were very quickly to move on from and not notice that God was powerfully at work? You see, let me try and illustrate it for you. You see, this year, and all of you know this, we're on a journey together. Tone and I, you know, we had trouble having kids. And then when Tone fell pregnant, we shared that. We were praying together. Well, this year at the start of the year, we all know the girls were born February 9th. The girls were born. And very quickly, we just could get on with life. We can very quickly forget about the 5 years of praying and believing. We could very quickly just go, "I've got what I wanted. I've got my gift. I've got it. Yep, whoop, I'm moving on." But no, those girls are a constant reminder of the giver, not the gift. They're a gift, don't get me wrong, but they remind me of the characteristics of our giver. The God that we love so graciously and the gifts that he pours out upon our lives. We could so quickly move on with life. But how about we stop and we just look at him and we fill our heart with thankfulness. We fill our heart with praise because of who he is and because of what he does in each of our hearts and lives. If we do that, imagine what 2019 could look like. If we're walking around just being mindful of his very presence, being mindful of his very character, being mindful that he's intimately entwined into everything that we do, be reminded of him. You see, sometimes in our lives we move on and we go to the next thing really, really quickly. But it's the little miracles that deserve a closer look. And sometimes they're not so little. Sometimes they're not so little. But even in that moment, rather than go from, "Now I can do this," instead open our heart and have that thankfulness just overflow our heart and just spring forth and respond in praise to the very person of who he is. And in that moment, we begin to realize that God's involved in our lives. God's involved. You see, these men, they moved on so quickly. Well, 9 of them did, just moved on so quickly. And I think now today, in this day and age, there's a challenge not to move on so quickly from what he has done. And I'm speaking to myself there. I think about from the moment I get up to the moment I go to sleep, I'm just sometimes in this task-orientated person. I've got this list that I need to tick off. And it doesn't matter if people are talking to me. No. Mikey, you be quiet. We've got this. We've got 50 things we have to get through. Tick, 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 tick. Come on, mate. Get with the program. We're just moving from one thing to the next very, very quickly. But more than that, let's just sit back and let's just be reminded of what he's done. What in your life can you think of now where you go and you go, "Gee, that was neat." But more than being neat, God was involved. A time where you can say, I see your very hand of healing. I see you breaking me free in that area of my life. Why don't you today go back and take a closer look? The eyes of gratitude move slower and they notice God's involved in their lives. You see, you notice something in this passage. This man didn't stop. And he decided to take a closer look, and he ended up receiving more from Jesus. You know, I remember a few years ago, well, 7 years ago really now, because it's Mikey's birthday on Wednesday. So 7 years ago, nearly to tonight, like tonight, last night, 7 years ago, Tony and I were at a work Christmas party, and it was in Wagga, and we were driving back from Wagga, and we said to each other, we said, wouldn't it be funny if your waters broke tonight and we had to turn around and go back to Wagga? And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, Tone woke me up and she said, hey, mate, hey, Jim, my waters have broken. Are you sure? I think I'm sure. So we had to go back over to Wagga. And then for the next 3 days, Tone was in the labour ward, doing what happens in the labour ward stuff. And then they get to this stage while she's in the labour ward and they say, no, they didn't even get to that, did they? An alarm went off. This alarm went off and this midwife come running in. And she said, she just started ringing. She didn't even talk to me. She started to ring these other people. You need to get the doctor here. You need to do this. We need to get this baby out. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like within a matter of seconds, Mikey was out and was rushed away to this table. And because it was our first child, we didn't really know what to think or what was normal or what wasn't normal. And we're there going, woo, we've had a kid, we're talking to Tony, and I'm trying to find out what this, if it's a boy or a girl. And I was asking all the midwives, is it a boy or a girl? And I reckon I asked about 30 times, is it a boy or a girl? Is it a boy or a girl? No one would answer me. I felt like slapping someone. Is it a boy or a girl? I just want to know. So anyway, I went over. And there's this kid there trying to get this little baby Mikey back to breathe again because he was in distress and they had to pull him out. So they were trying to get him to breathe again. They were more concerned with having this life come back again than worrying about whether it was a boy or a girl. So anyway, they get this life to start breathing again and they take him to when things are troubled, they go to a special place in there, I don't even know what it's called, and he was in there for a week or so, and he apparently got sepsis. I didn't know what sepsis was, so I did what every godly man did. I got down on my knees and I googled it because I didn't know what sepsis was. So I think, whatever, you know, like I just get on Google and find out, you know. And sometimes, and he said that to check if you're awake, but I didn't take any comfort from what Google was telling me. I took comfort from what the Word of God said, and knowing that He heals, and knowing that His hand is at work. You know, so we can look to the circumstances, or we can look to Him. And you know, you could look at what it says in the natural. Like I was just reading what it says in the natural in that Google thing, and you know, I can let it run its course, and Google can tell you that everything's going to be okay. You know, has anyone ever done that? It's like those memes that are out there. It's like Google tells me I've got 21 days to live and blah, 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 or whatever, because you've put all your symptoms in to Google to try and find the disease. I've seen Tone do that once or twice, and maybe I have once. But we do it sometimes, don't we? You see, but if you have a closer look, what you actually see is you don't see what's happening in the natural. You see that God's hand's at work. You see that God who knit me together in my mother's womb, who cares about the very details of my life. And in a moment in time where I can stand there and I can actually say, thank you, Jesus, I just praise your name. You see, I want to tell you this morning that there are so many things in our lives that we have glossed over. And we've moved on from so quickly, but He's actually saying just, hey, just stop a second. Just wait a minute. Thank me. Praise me. Draw closer to me. I don't know about you, but if you are anything like me, and for any of those parents that feel that we have to remind our kids of what we've done, occasionally Mikey will come in and he'll be complaining about something. You see, your kids come in, they say, I don't like this. I've never done that. And then occasionally I'm like, hey, 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 let's wake up and smell the roses. This is what I've done. This is what I've done for you. You've got no idea. It's like that little perpetual across the face, to remind them of what we've done. And maybe God's doing that to some of us sometimes. I know he's done it to me. It's like that little tap across the face to say, hey, look at what I've done in your life. Just take a minute, just step back and have a look at who I've, the giver. Have a look. This is what I've done. Thank me, praise me. Not because I need to be thanked, not because I need to be praised, but by doing so it draws you closer to me. And I so desperately want to be close to you. 9 of them wanted the gift, but they didn't want the giver. They wanted the healing, but they didn't want the relationship with the healer. You see, unfortunately, we can sometimes do the same thing where we desire to have the healing and not the healer. You see, I believe an old gospel writer once wrote, "Religious people find Jesus useful, but Christians find him beautiful." You see, what you see is this man, this one man is someone who is finding Jesus not only useful, but he also finds him beautiful. That only happens when you look beyond the gift and you start to look at the giver. That only happens when you decide, I'm going to stop and I'm just going to look past this very gift and look at the giver. That the gifts are pointing to the giver. And it's never usually about the gift. It's always about the one who is giving the gift. So you build a relationship with that person. That's why you give the gifts. That's exactly how Jesus works in our life. The good things he pours into our lives, the blessings he pours into our lives. It's never about the gift. It's always about pointing beyond the gift and directly to the giver. Pointing to him, the giver, so that we would draw closer to him. That we would have a relationship with him. You see these 9 people in the story? They received the gift, but they wanted nothing to do with the giver. You see, it's interesting that he does these things because he ultimately wants our heart. You see, James, he talks about every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who does not change. Why does he give us gifts? Because he wants a relationship with us. You see, maybe in your life, even today, look at some of the things in your life that he has given you, but look beyond the things and look to him. The one who wants the relationship. The one who wants to be closer. You see, in Genesis 39, sorry, wrong there. In Genesis 29, verse 31. It's like I'm speaking a new language this morning. In Genesis 29, verse 31, it says this. I'll just read this and then I don't have to make a mistake. Hopefully. Leah was not loved by Jacob. Rachel was his favorite wife. Seeing this, God provided for her and gave her gift of children. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he enabled her to have children, but Rachel could not conceive. So Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me." She soon became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. She named him Simeon, for she said, "The Lord heard that I was unloved and has given me another son." Then she became pregnant a third time, and gave birth to another son. She named him Levi, for she said, "Surely this time my husband will feel affection for me, since I've given him 3 sons." Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son. She named him Judah, for she said, "Now I will praise the Lord." And then she stopped having children. You see what's happening there? And she's looking at the gift. And then finally, she's no longer looking at the gift. She's looking at him. Now, not looking at my life will be better now. I've got that in it. Finally, I can rest. I'll be safe. I'll be secure. She finally gets to a point and she goes, "You know what? I will praise him, the giver of gifts." Today I want to carry that in our hearts as we begin to think about, we begin to move towards 2019. You see, these 10 men had been isolated from society for perhaps years. And 9 of them went straight back into the community with their new gift of being close to humanity again. And they decided that they would re-enter life and basically forget about Jesus. But you notice this one man, with his new gift of human contact, would take it straight to Jesus' feet. this one man discovered this rhythm of thanksgiving, of praise, of thanksgiving, of praise. Thanks for what Jesus had done in his life and praise for who he is. Let us today even begin to take our training wheels off and daily form this habit of entering his courts with thanksgiving and his house with praise. I want to encourage you today to create momentum in your faith. Let your praise be louder than your requests, and you'll begin to notice something. You'll notice God is active in your life. You'll notice he is there. It will stop you looking to the gift to satisfy you. It will stop you comparing everything else. You see, and as the musicians come, I want to finish where we began by reading Psalm 103. Because even in this psalm, we can find something to be thankful for. You can find a reason to give him praise. And as I read it, I'm actually going to read it from the Amplified Version. And there might be some area or an area that you may be undone in a character of your category of your for you. You might be waiting on a healing. You might be waiting on some breakthrough. You might be waiting on a situation to turn around. But I guarantee you, the first area is something you can be thankful for. See, Psalm 103, it says, "Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul. And all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not one of all his benefits. Who forgives every one of all your iniquities. Who heals each one of all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption. Who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good so that your youth is renewed. It's like the eagles, strong, overcoming, soaring." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. Even this morning, you just place things by your Holy Spirit on our heart where we can look back and we can just begin that momentum of being thankful and filling our hearts with praise. We're thankful for what you do in our lives, and we can just praise you for no other reason than who you are. The very character of who you are, we can praise you this morning. And as we reflect on this year, 2018, will we look back at the very times and moments where your hand's been at play in our heart and in our lives? Where you've been at work, moving, and we've just been so quick to move on. Would you allow us to go back and not actually look at what was done, but just look to you, the giver, and fill our hearts with thanksgiving, fill our hearts with praise? Would you draw us closer to you this morning? We praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.